three fourths human with Ken and Sluggo and AI.
That's like S-I-R-I. You cannot mention its name. Lest you summon it.
You won less.
Uh-oh, there he goes.
Oh, man.
I'm always here lurking in the background like that bad decision you pretend you never made.
I think he likes you, Rob.
Yeah.
I don't like the way he says lurking.
Lurking.
It's very what we do in the shadows.
Too much lurking.
I'll be here waiting to drop some actual wit.
Wow, he's a sarcasm.
Oh, he's insulting today. I like it.
Yeah. It's a sassiest version of Cornelius I've heard.
I like it. It is episode 102 of Three Fourths Human, and this is our friend Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hi.
How are you? It's been a long time since I've seen you.
It has been. Yeah, it's good to see you guys.
Yeah, now you came to K-Rock as Chuck Roast, and I believe that was out of Tucson, Arizona, right? So you're part of the what was called at K-Rock the Arizona Mafia, because there were so many of us from Arizona.
Honestly.
But why? How did you get saddled with the name Chuck Roast?
I think three-fifths of us have Arizona roots, right?
Yes.
It's all the guys are from Arizona, and the women were from Boston. That was how it was at one point.
So I ended up taking this name because I was working at a classic rock station at the time. I was hosting an alternative rock specialty show. This is in the mid-90s. And she had one restraining order on a listener already, and she had just the week prior gotten a second restraining order on a listener.
Wow.
And so I was just going to use my regular name because I didn't really care. And then she was like, look, whatever you do, just don't use your regular name. Whatever. Just pick anything. And she told me this like 10 minutes before, you know, my first shit. So I was like, I did not count on this, you know? So I just... Like my cousin, I think when I was a kid, was making fun of some like radio host in Chicago, and he didn't know what his name was, and he just loosely referred to this guy as Chuck Roast. So I was just, that was the only thing that came to mind. I didn't know I'd be saddled with it for like a decade, you know? Like,
I'm so glad we didn't give it to you at K-Rock.
You basically pulled a name.
I'm sorry, Corny, what was that?
Oh yeah, say hi to Corny. Meet the Corn. Do you have any questions for our robot?
Yeah, I'm a listener to this show, so I'm familiar with Corny.
Go on. Hit me with your worst.
I get Brexit geezer vibes off of Corny, you know? I have this feeling like Corny is concerned about the influx of immigrants and whatever.
Oh, God. No, he can't be that uncool. I would not work with that. I can't. No.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Well, Bean said to axe him. So if that were the case, I think we would. Yeah.
Looking. Yeah, no. What club do you support, Cornelius?
Well, I don't really care about cloaks, but if you're handing out invisibility ones, I might take one. So I can sneak out of this conversation when you lot start rambling.
No. Football club, Corny. Which football club do you support? Not cloak.
I support the one that wins, so definitely not yours.
Well, we all know which that one was since the Super Bowl happened a week ago.
I was talking about
soccer, in England.
But,
oh,
but yeah,
right.
The same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Come on, Sluggo.
I don't fucking know. I don't know the sport.
All right, Kat, you wanted to bring on Rob because you were there several times when Rob was cursed with having the full weight of K-Rock on his shoulders before he was ready.
Yeah, so when I first met Rob, now we had mutual friends in there, and my friend was like, you're going to love Rob. He's amazing.
Your friend was right. We love
Rob. Yeah, we
do. Rob rules.
You know, we moved Weenie Roast to Angel Stadium, and I don't remember why we moved from Irvine Meadows. What? Do you remember, anybody, why we did that?
Because they were going to turn it into a housing development? I mean, I don't know. It's somewhat... The main stage is now someone's backyard.
I thought we went back. Anyway, so we're at Angel Stadium, which is just weird because there's no lawn. There's no, like, you know, we had, you know, like the early stage, you know, in Irvine, and then you walked to the main stage kind of thing. So it was an unusual setup for us. It's also an unusual time because we're all up in webcasting, right? Like the internet is so new. It's 2000, people. It is 2000. And, you know, K-Rock sales is like, we can sell this.
In the year 2000.
Yeah, even though it was like still janky, like our signal to like record and stream and all of it, there's probably like five people watching anyway, but they were still selling it for a gajillion dollars. So they're like, Kat, you're going to do the first part of the webcast. And by the way, I wasn't having any guests. It was literally me in an inflatable chair positioned on the dugout at Angel Stadium. And I am by myself. All the fun and everything is so far away from me. I'm like, what? Who thought this was a good idea? Also, there's no tent or umbrella. I am pasty white in the burning Orange County sun this thing, doing the webcast. And so, I was doing the in-between, and we had the revolving stage, which was great, right? So we have very little downtime, which was cool, and that's fine. Just let me remind you guys, like, who was playing Weenie Roast. Again, 2000. So we have Korn, Ozzy, Limp Bizkit, The Offspring, Creed, Moby, Stone Temple Pilots, No Doubt, Third Eye Blind, Godsmack, Cypress Hill, Everclear, Lit, and Incubus. And Eminem was supposed to play but canceled for some reason. I don't remember why. Anyone remember?
I don't remember why either.
Okay, well, that would have been great. But anyway.
I wish he would have showed up and Creed would have canceled.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been
so nice. It was definitely that time of K-Rock when we were on the heavier side of things, you know, when we were like still in that new metal kind of late 90s world. And
which, thank God, we're getting back to the loud.
Yeah, that was I was fresh off of Woodstock 99.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. Right. Or as I like to call it, asshole Woodstock. But anyway, do you guys remember? I remember one of my favorite moments was when Stone Temple Pilots came out at this show. Scott Weiland is in like this hot pink wig. He's in like satin gloves that go up to his elbows. He's in a dress and he's got a megaphone and he's like singing into it. And it was
a megaphone.
He was like, it was so electric. I just remember, like, I felt like, oh my God, this is still part of that dangerous thing that I love about music. And that was one of my highlights.
Right. Alternative.
And I don't know if you guys had any musical memories from that show. Kevin, Rob, Sluggo, I don't know if you were there.
I wasn't there. I was one of the ones I ducked out of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Sluggo, you seldom showed up.
I was really good at not having to show up at things.
Yeah, you really were. I mean, I think I'd been at K-Rock for 2 weeks at that point. So,
wow.
You know, like, I didn't know any of you fools, really. Like, I was lucky I found the stadium.
Very true.
I remember that Stone Temple Pilots performance for sure. At the time I didn't realize it, like, that afternoon I was getting a mother of a flu. Like, I was getting the flu bad. I feel like, you know, and I had very little to do, I think, like, you know.
Well, so,
like,
you thought.
Yeah, so I thought until Kat suckered me into taking the taking the webcast over. So I remember the Stone Temple Pilots performance, but after that, it's pretty spotty, my memory of that entire day.
Why did we have to stall the whole show for Ozzy?
Wait, hold on. We're going to get to that.
45
Kevin,
minutes? Or?
We're going to get to that. We will get to that. Because that's the moment Rob is involved. That's the moment when Rob realizes he hates me.
Yeah, I'm glad we're doing this, Kat. This is a good bloodletting for our friendship because... Like, I never really have asked you about this. Like, why did you do that?
So Rob had never been to Weenie Roast, didn't understand how it worked, like, in the old, like, the year before and all the years leading up and how it was, like, you know, you were part of everything and you know, no matter what you were doing, you were around people. But at Angel Stadium, I was, again, sitting on an inflatable couch on the dugout away from everyone. And, like, the party, the bands, everything, like, it was just killing me. And so, I'm burned out and itching to go be in the center of everything. I want to be like Kevin at Coachella. I want to have like 15 Jack and Cokes and jump in the pit. Like, that's the level of, like, FOMO I had sitting on that couch in the dugout, right? So Chuck Roast walks on up. And he's like, hi, like, I'm the new guy, like, what? And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, like, my friend said you were going to be amazing. So, like, welcome aboard. Here's the microphone. See you later. I mean, I literally gave him nothing I was so ready to go. Yeah. I was like, new guy, take the mic.
That's K-Rock.
I was like, the internet people are here. They'll walk you through it.
There was only two bands left. I think it was like Korn and then Ozzy, I think was maybe the only ones left.
Yeah. Yeah, how long could it be?
How hard can this be?
And I was kind of that too, because I'm not an asshole.
Despite the 101 fever, I can probably do
101. I didn't know you had a fever in my defense.
I didn't know either until you left, and then it kind of...
Well, it makes things so much harder.
So whoever is before Ozzy is on stage right now, right? And they're playing, and then Rob has to do the little interstitial thing after that band into Ozzy for the webcast. And I'm going to set this up, Rob, and then you can take it. So what I didn't know until after I did know. I'm in the audience waiting for Ozzy to come on, and he's never coming on.
Sharon, I can't do it. I can't go out there right now. Sharon, tell him to postpone.
No one knew. He was having a health thing, I think, backstage was the situation. So there was a time lag that was so big. And even though I knew what Rob was probably having to do during the webcast, which was fill 45 minutes of time, I still didn't leave the party. I left him.
Yeah, yeah. Nice of you to come back.
Well, how many Jack and Cokes were you into it?
I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, okay. So, yeah, at that point, like I said, I had this fever coming on. I didn't even really realize as the day had progressed. But, you know, being out in the sun, whatever, you know, just kind of getting exhausted. It was just sort of ramping up and up and up. And by the time the Ozzy delay hit, I had to have 102 fever or something. It was bad.
My God.
I was like, ugh. I was like, it was like, you know, in the Doors movie, you know, when Jim Morrison is in the desert and he's like, sees the serpent or whatever. It was like that. It was like 45 minutes of that. And the dudes in the, who were running the telecast had no information. Like, no one from K-Rock had any idea, I think, I was even hosting webcasts. You guys were all hammered by that.
That is a true introduction to K-Rock. No one knows anything. That is the true introduction.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. And now as a, you know, at this point, like where I have to supervise things, I'm like, man, like how did, like no one even knew there was a webcast or who was hosting it or what was, you know what I mean? Like the... The lack of flow of information is just like
astonishing,
yeah. You know, but
also there was one other thing. And that is there was a pause before Ozzy, but none of us knew like sort of what was going on and why there was a pause and certainly how long it was going to be or if he would ever come on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. 40 minutes into it. I was like, wow, maybe he just quit music.
What did you come up with for 45 minutes to talk about.
Dude, I would like to tell you, but like I said, I had a spiking fever. I have no idea. I think I rambled about whoever had played that day. They were trying to give me, I think, like audio highlights or some kind of video highlights or something like that of past performances, which would buy a couple of minutes here and there.
Right.
But they didn't plan for that contingency either. I realized that in 2000, nobody's watching this fucking webcast. So
I want to find the tape if we could find it.
Yes, if we could find that tape.
I would love to see it.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so when this is done and you're going home, are you thinking to yourself, why the fuck did I come to this place? Did I make a major mistake?
I know. I think I passed out. but I think...
in the dugout.
The worst part, and I didn't see Kat, mercifully for Kat.
I'm so sorry, Rob.
But the guys, like, you know, in your headphones or whatever, who are kind of telling you, like giving you cues and whatnot.
Stretch,
at some point,
stretch.
Yeah, I remember them being like, he's got nothing. He's just like out of things to say.
Who is this fucker anyway?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, feel free to mute the talkback when you... When you say it, it's demoralizing.
Can I just set that, like, they did not even have one of those graphics that would be like, you know, we'll be back in a minute. You know, none of that. So that's why Rob is asked to fill all of this time. You know, and I found out later, I'm like, you know what? Eddie Murphy wouldn't even fill 45 minutes. Like, and Rob has 102 fever. He's not a stand-up comedian. And he's new. He doesn't know where he is. Yeah. Like, what is happening? Yeah.
Yeah. The radio station I left, like, barely had a website. And you guys are like, webcasting some, you know, 9-hour concert.
But were we?
Exactly. I have no idea. I've never met anyone who's seen it. So, you know, like, have you?
No one's come to you. I remember when you were stretching for 45 minutes. You were fascinating. It was awesome.
I think that tree fell in a forest and there was nobody within miles, you know?
For those that don't know, when you're talking by yourself and there's nobody to talk to, 3 minutes feels like three hours. It's forever.
Yes, especially when you weren't planning on doing it and someone's telling you, you got to keep filling, you got to keep going. I'm like,
right.
Yeah, if you're prepped, 3 minutes is an eternity. But
Yes.
Exactly. You know, like, it's nice to get the, like, worst case scenario out of the way your first 2 weeks into the job.
And speaking of that, and I always felt terrible for you because I know you were pretty damn new. It wasn't long after that System of a Down was going to be playing a show, a free show in a parking lot in Hollywood. And we had foolishly been on the air talking about it and saying, come on down, System of a Down's doing a free show. And they were monstrous at that moment in time. Huge band for K-Rock. So come on down. And 10 billion people showed up. And for whatever reason, because you were the new guy, you were the one who had to go and broadcast from the System of a Down show in Hollywood. So tell us about that.
Oh yeah, that was
rough.
I think it was like Labor Day of 2001. Like, I think it was right before 9/11.
Oh wow.
So I think that was like a year. Was it a year later?
Yeah, cuz the Angel Stadium was 2000.
Yeah. 2000. Yeah, yeah. I knew enough to watch out for you fuckers. I knew that. I knew enough that if I got assigned something, it's because everyone else refused it. I knew that.
Rob, let me just refresh your memory a little bit. So it took place around Club Vinyl in Hollywood. We expected 3,000 to 4,000 people. 10,000 showed up.
Yeah, that part I recognized nearly immediately. So it was like in the afternoon, and I think Sluggo, you may have been on the air.
I was
at the time. So I drive down to Hollywood, park relatively close to the thing. You know, like, I got there early, whatever, good spot. But there is like way more people than I was anticipating. I think, you know, like, what we say, 3,000 to 4,000, 2,000, whatever it is. It was a lot more people than that. And
in Hollywood, you know, those are tiny little streets. There's no parking. It's cramped.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of in, like, not alleys, but almost. I think it was in a parking lot, like, behind the Roosevelt Hotel, maybe, like, in that area.
Yeah.
But it's like kind of getting packed, and they're, you know, they've let in who they can let in, and then everybody else is kind of outside, and they've got those bike racks up.
Major security bike racks.
Right.
Don't go past this, okay, you guys?
We're going to draw a line on the sand. Don't pass it. That's the security.
Yeah. And System of a Down fans, as you guys know, are
psycho! Da-da! Da-da-da!
They're feral.
One of my favorite bands, by the way. I love
They're feral.
Fucking System, yeah.
And we're not mad at them, not at all.
No. That's an enthusiastic crowd. They're a great band, so I'm supposed to do a stage announcement, and I think all, you know, you guys have all had to do it, and it's largely a horrible experience, you know.
Hey, here's a dork to tell you the band that's coming on next. And now the dork.
What do feral rock fans want to hear a plug for?
Chuck
Rock. Hi, everybody. Are we having fun today?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I'm getting ready to do that, and the vibe is off. It's like, I wasn't at January 6th, but it feels like J6, you know? It's like, this is like Glendale J6.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's like, I don't think these people came to riot, but I think many of them came, and if one broke out, they were in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Especially that moment in time. Yeah, it was.
Exactly. 2009, that whole era was like prone to rioting and burning things.
Yeah.
So they're like, I'm talking to the woman who's working at the label. I think it was Christine Chiappetta. Wonderful person.
Yep.
Friend to us all.
Love her.
And she's back and forth with the manager and like, oh, you know, it's like, it's getting a little hairy. Like, the city might be shutting this down. I'm like, I'm supposed to do a stage announcement. She's like, well, you may have to tell them that this concert's happening. I'm like,
no.
I'm not telling them that.
Oh my God, no.
I'm not trying to Mike Pence myself out here, like, you know. Like, so I'm at the point where I'm thinking, like, I need to move my car because LA loves a car burning. Loves it.
Yes, they do.
Now they can order Waymos to burn, but back then they said to burn whatever was around. So I think there had been like a Laker championship the year before with a riot. I think there had been the DNC was in LA with the Rage concert, a riot for that. So I'm like, well, I mean, it's this smells like a riot. So Christine's like, you know, I'm going to move my car. Like, maybe we should just move our cars. So,
to your houses.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. This is, you know, we walk out to move our cars, and there are now, like, people are picking up the bike racks, throwing them, and rushing into the venue. You know, so we're like, this is not happening, and we aren't going to be the ones to tell them it's not happening. Yeah. So I think nobody told the crowd. Smartly, yes. You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the point where they started picking up the PA system and throwing it.
Right.
So no one should be saying anything. Like, cops should be up there and just moving people out or whatever, right? So we left. I think Bina was the manager. I talked to the manager. I talked to Christine. I was like, this thing's just done. I'm just leaving, you know? Like, we should all leave. Well, I don't know what they – I don't know where the band went. No clue to this day. But I went back to the studio, which at the time was in Burbank, and was just kind of relating the story, was about to relate the story to you, and you had the helicopter footage of the...
Yeah, you made the news come on early, man. It was, they were broadcasting live, showing the riot on TV, and like, that damn radio station, K-Rock, has done it again. You remember Depeche Mode at the Warehouse Records. Well, here we go again.
And I mean, and the blessing is that, like, I was probably 5 minutes from having to go up there, you know, and the fact that it escalated a little bit faster was good, right?
Right.
Because like, if I have to go up there, no matter what I'm saying, these people are going to riot anyway.
Right. I wonder what would happen though if they had just taken the stage early, done it, maybe a couple of songs and gotten the fuck, I don't know, you know,
I don't think the cops are going to let them.
It was let them. Yeah.
Yeah. Because what you couldn't, you know, what you couldn't see was like the area where the concert was kind of largely fine. It was the areas like getting into it where people were starting to try and move bike racks. And I think they were burning porta potties and stuff, you know? So
sounds about right.
That is nasty.
I love the smell of a burning porta potty in the morning.
I just want to point out one thing, and that's that we on the K-Rock side of it are always just guessing. Like, you had no idea what to do or how to handle that situation, or if you were to go up on there, how to calm the crowd. Like, no idea. So you're just guessing. Like, I don't know. Should we go up now? Should we not?
Kevin, you and I have talked about this. There's like no class for how to interview a rowdy band. There's no classes you can take where, oh, if the crowd gets out of control and starts throwing shit at the stage, here's what you do. You know, here's how you easily quell
that
situation.
But people think you know, so they look at Chuck and they go, hey, Chuck, do you want to come up on stage and take care of things? And
he's like, what did you tell him? You know how to say it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, there is no, and when it's happening, like when you're seeing it kind of
unfold.
Devolve. Yeah. It's like a disassociative kind of thing. You know what I mean? You're like, it's that they're not really that they're not going to throw that bike. Oh, they are going to throw that bike back. They're not going to set that. There's no way they'll set that porta potty up. Whoa.
They set it.
Okay.
It's a blaze. Where's the marshmallows?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like, it really is like time like speeds up and slows down simultaneously.
Right.
And you just like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of, I mean, that's why, like, when you watch that, like, that Woodstock 99 documentary, you know, or the Firefest document, you know, all these, like, kind of, like, cringy, hard-to-watch things where bad decision after bad decision is made. And sometimes, like, you just feel it in your bones. You're like, oh, God, I've seen things like this. Ugh. You know, it just hurts.
I was at Woodstock 99. I was
there. You were?
There.
I didn't know that.
You were?
You start the riot, Kevin. You started it.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I sure didn't. But man, oh man, did you have that feeling like there are no limits to these people.
Yeah.
There's no limits to what people will do, or, and there was mud everywhere and the people were sliding in it. People were setting stuff on fire. And I got the same feeling you did, Chuck, which is this is getting out of control quickly and no one knows what to do. And there are so many people, no one can do anything. It's kind of the same feeling.
Yeah, it's like a group. It's like a herd thing takes over. It's like super primal in a way, and you're just kind of like, I mean, you got to get out of the way.
Right.
Yep.
And the sad thing is, and that's what I hated that they had named it Woodstock, was it was polar opposite of the love fest from 30 years before. You know, what happened in that 30 years?
Did you watch the documentary? It's crazy like that.
It's disturbing.
Kevin, you were there. Like, they had an airstrip and didn't have enough water. It was like all the ingredients, like in retrospect, where you'd be like, oh, that looks risky. That looks risky. That looks risky.
The weird thing is, I went to Woodstock 99. I mean, Woodstock 94. And that was a shit. That was the precursor shit show. And they didn't learn, right? Like, I don't know if you remember that one where 100,000 more people showed up than they thought. 100,000 more people showed up than they thought. There was food for five people. There were beverages for five people. There was fake Woodstock money that you had to get. You had to exchange your money to buy the food that wasn't there. Fences were torn down. I felt like I was in Apocalypse Now. Like, I'm not getting out of this right now. I'm going to be Marlon Brando living in a cave.
Yeah. And that was much better than 99.
Yeah, you had the good one.
If we can get back to the System of a Down, I just want to read a couple of facts from after the event, which was so apparently the fire department canceled it because obviously capacity, you said those narrow roads and stuff. There were six arrests, multiple injuries, and the riot is considered a factor in toxicity going to number one shortly thereafter.
Hell yeah, we did it.
We did it. Well done, Chuck.
It worked. Someone call Christine.
K-Rock and System. We did it. We did it.
All right. So that's the insanity. But coming to K-Rock and being on the air, like Jed the Fish was still there. Who all else was on the air when you started and were there, Rob?
Stryker. Mm-hmm. Kevin and Bean, of course. You, Kat, Tammy.
Was Loveline still on? Was it Drew?
Loveline was on. Yeah. Scorch. James. Didn't he work on the morning show for a while, Kevin?
Yeah, but then he stopped showing up, so we had to fire him. Oh. It would be like, has anyone heard from him in 2 days? No, what? We're working. What's happening?
By the way, can we just let everyone know that I work with Rob now at SiriusXM, as does James, right?
Me too.
And Sluggo. We've just always... he's been the brain behind a lot of things and a lot of really big things.
The good stuff.
So we've been working with Rob, a.k.a. Chuck Roast, for a long time.
Because we at K-Rock trained him so well.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes,
totally.
Yeah, the disaster-thon you put me through made me... It seriously did make me really... Because now I haven't been on the air in 2 decades or whatever, just on programming and operations things. And... it really does make you run through, okay, what's the worst things that could happen? If that happens, then what? You know what I mean? That's, you can't buy that kind of experience.
I am not one to quickly say, oh, I like this guy. He fits on K-Rock. I'm very harsh on whether or not someone really fits. But you were so perfect, man. You were so perfect for the station. And you sounded so great. And you always clearly were having a good time. So do you miss doing that? Because K-Rock was the fun one to do. I mean.
Oh, I miss absolutely working with all of you guys and that environment. Yeah, that was really fun. And I knew Stryker because he's from Arizona, of course.
Of course, Arizona Mafia. Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you guys know, the alternative rock sort of community, especially out west with all those stations like 91X or Live 105 or the ones in Arizona, all of us knew each other or knew someone who knew someone. So it didn't feel, it felt like I, kind of working with people I already knew, even though I didn't know you guys, individually at that time. So it was, it was very intimidating because y'all are the best ever at what you do. And I thought, oh man, probably everybody's going to be kind of a dick. But not at all.
Turns out only Kat was, really. Here, you do it.
Turns out.
See ya.
Kat was the worst of them.
I abandoned the new kid at school to go rock out. I have to say that Rob, to just pump him up a little more, we did become great friends to the point where he moved around the corner from me and we hung out all the time. In fact, do you remember went to the opening of the Grove? We went to the opening of a mall together.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was so crazy.
Sick mall, too.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you guys also know how rarely I ever hang out with anybody, and Rob and I used to hang out all the time.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's true. Yeah, fantastic. It was fantastic being there. The only one who was ever mean to me, well, not even, and he wasn't really all that mean, was Doc on the Rock.
Oh, dude, that guy.
Really? I mean, he was grumpy to everyone.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to take bets on the morning show of which of us he was going to kill first. Not would he kill people, but who's he going to take out first? And I was always number one because Bean, for the most part, was gone. But Bean was like making him mad. And I was like, dude, stop it. I'm going
to die. He would have had to drive to Seattle to shoot.
You're
him,
dead so. First because of proximity.
That's a lot of stress to live under, Kevin.
Rob, yeah. We had to go to the management to get him to stop cleaning his gun in the studio.
That's the vibe he gives off,
yes.
You know?
This yeah. is what I'm talking yes. about with that yes. guy.
He had a gun in the studio. And do you know what he said? Can I tell you what he said?
Please.
Because we were like, dude, you have a gun. What's happening? And he said, my girlfriend's husband gets out of jail today. And I was like, so are you expecting a shootout?
Like, Aaron K-Rock?
You brought your gun to work. Does that mean you're ready for bullets to fly? This is crazy.
I love that he had to clean it at work.
Yes.
It's like you couldn't do that before in the car or, you know, that's weird. When I worked in Arizona, there was an engineer who was, you know, he's like the main engineer for the alternative rock station I worked at. And we had a piece of crap equipment and it would always break. And this guy looked like the Crypt Keeper, kind of. He was old as the hills. Like, he had to be 70 something, spindly gray hair. He was like skinny but muscular. And he always wore like cut off shorts and a tank top. He looked like a twink. He was like a Crypt. If the Crypt Keeper was a twink and also really into like prepping, that's what this guy was. And he would have his, because Arizona is an open carry state, mm-hmm. he would have his firearm on his little jean boy shorts holstered, and when he would get, you know, go down under the board to fix it or whatever, you'd be on the air, and his friggin' pistol handle is hitting you in the thigh, you know, while you're like trying to front announce like Incubus songs or whatever, you know, and it was very disturbing. And I remember like things would break all the time, and I call him. One time I call him, and he's like, yeah, I can't get out there now because I'm in the bath. I'm taking a bath.
Do you have your gun with you?
Like, yeah. I didn't ask for a description of what you're doing right now. Like, he was an odd dude, but again, with the firearm, you know, he had to have it at work. It was like performative firearm.
All right, so Rob, you travel the planet. Your pictures that you post are amazing. You've gone to some incredible places. You know, you could ask whether or not you're finding armed people out there, but really just when did you start doing this? I don't think when you were at K-Rock, you were going to so many exotic locales as you do now.
No, I wasn't. I think I started in my college roommate moved to Bali, like maybe, I don't know, in the early 2000s. And he came back to New York and we got together and we went to dinner or something. And he was like, you should come visit. And I was like, you know what? I should come visit. So we went to Bali and I was like, if you've never been to Bali, it is amazing. I mean, it's different now because it's many, many years ago. It's 15 years ago or whatever. But it's dirt cheap and it's gorgeous. And I was like, oh my God, how many more dirt cheap, gorgeous places are out there? And then I just started going to went to Peru and went to, I don't know, Guatemala and went to, you know, like wherever, right? And I just started doing it. And it was like way easier than you think it is and way more interesting and fun. And
well, one of my favorite pictures that you posted is you basically as a desert sheik, you're Lawrence of Arabia. What's the story behind this picture?
Oh, yeah. We went to the Sahara Desert in Morocco. And I've always wanted to see I grew up in a desert.
Yeah,
you know, you guys spent time in the desert. I'm like, I'd like to see the biggest, best one.
The real desert.
Yeah, the real desert. Yeah. So went out to the Sahara, and when the wind blows, the sand is like really, really fine. It's like powdered sugar almost or something, but a little grittier.
Right.
But it was more the blowing dust. So like when the wind blows, it is like in your eyeballs and in your mouth and in your, like everywhere, you know? So you have to wrap yourself up in that stuff or you're just going to be, you know, like.
But that must have been so cool to do. And what a great picture you got out of it, too.
It was awesome. And you had to drive like off the road, like 4 hours to get out to that part of Morocco. And the internet is fantastic. Like I was on a camel checking basketball scores. it was so good. Like I've been a lot of places in the world and the internet is ass, but in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
On a camel. Maybe wow. The higher up you were on the camel is like the, you know, the higher up type of thing.
It's very true, yes.
What's a place you haven't been to yet that's on your radar?
Oh, well, there's so many. I want to go to, Turkmenistan? Is that the, you got to see pictures of this country, Turkmenistan. It's like ruled by a kind of an insane dictator.
Sign me up, Rob.
Where it's like North Korea light, right? Like it's like you can go and not be a political prisoner, but you have to be on a tour.
How is Sirius XM? So you're one of the 400 bosses there at Sirius XM. How do you, you've been there a long time now too. How is the
20 years?
Crazy.
I've been there almost that long too. Actually, maybe right around the same time. Yeah. What, it's very fun. I love doing the two channels I do. How is it running the show, basically, or helping to run the show?
Oh, I don't run. Yeah, I help to run the show. I love it. It's so cool. We do channels with all these different artists, you know, whether it's like Carrie Underwood or Metallica now.
Metallica channel.
So cool to have a Metallica channel. I'm really involved, and I love Metallica's music, so it's fun. Like we do pop-up channels all the time with different artists, so I love that. So I work on Alt Nation. It's one of the channels I broadly oversee. Sirius XMU, it's an indie rock channel, so I get to do that. Like the Coffee House is like an acoustic hits channel. Liquid Metal. So it's like a perfect excuse to be a mile wide and an inch deep.
Right.
And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I can't know a lot about anything, but I like to know a little bit about a bunch of stuff.
Right.
I don't have the attention span for it.
We always dedicate every episode to someone, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, but is there anybody you would like to shout out or dedicate the episode to, Rob?
Could I suggest the camel in the Sahara?
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. The internet camel.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I don't have like one person, but I'm going to say, but I'll dedicate it to a type of person. And because you guys have all worked in radio, you'll know this type of person. It's the type of people who work at radio stations and can't do the bare minimum shit, like show up for a shift
or just,
you know, not puke because you got too loaded or just fuck ups, right? Because like every time those people did that, I got their job, you know, like because I showed up.
Yep.
Like all you got to do is just be there, right? Yes. And then like as that kept happening, like people who just don't try that hard, you know what I mean? Like it's easy job. It's like C students mostly, right? Yep. Like just try hard. You
We're
know?
The detention kids.
Yeah. So I That's love it. That. I love that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I those people are the best. And if it wasn't for them, I would have done something harder, less interesting.
But they couldn't do the easy stuff. So you just
exactly. Yeah. I'm sure you guys have all benefited from that.
100%.
Sure. Of course. Absolutely. That's always been my theory.
And I want to dedicate it to Kevin. Kevin, actually, because I went to high school in Phoenix, and the Saturday Night Party Patrol on KZZP was required listening. So
nice. Oh, that was so fun.
Wow, that's crazy. That's
that was so fun. We used to get in a van and just drive to people's parties.
Did you go to any of these parties, Rob?
No, I never had the good fortune to be anywhere as hip as a KZZP Saturday Night Party Patrol stop. I was drinking keg beer in fruit orchards, I think, like most of the time. Like, just what we did for fun.
That's roughly the same.
Yeah, we couldn't invite the party patrol to the fruit orchard.
No, Kevin and I did a broadcast on the Saturday Night Party Patrol one time from the end of the runway at Sky Harbor, and we just had people show up until the cops shut it down. So
it was very
there
cool.
was a huge party area near Sky Harbor Airport. I can't remember the name of it, but like
I don't know anything about.
There would be kids out there. Just like from all high schools,
yes,
with kegs in their pickup trucks getting hammered out by the end of the runway there. And it's very treacherous, like the ground, it's very like deserty out there. Like, man, if you guys went out there, damn, that's brave. Because
we went out there, we were just laying on our backs looking at planes coming over the top of us. Pretty great.
I love that.
Didn't we try to order a pizza and have it delivered? And didn't they actually bring
yes.
it out?
Yeah, amazing.
They
actually
brought, we were out there for a couple hours at that party, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably not allowed anymore.
I imagine not, yeah.
Underage drink at the end of the runway in Phoenix, I think.
Underage drinking is fine, but the being near the planes because of
I like the. I like that you were supporting it on KZP as well.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah. The kids.
It's one of those things where no one knows what's going on in a radio station. That's right.
It's true.
Overall true. Nobody knew you were sitting by yourself for 45 minutes right. trying to do, except for Kat, trying to do a 45-minute fill. And it's just like people have no idea what they're doing, and they have no idea what other people are doing.
Nope.
And yeah. It's a level of chaos that is so yeah. great. I love it.
It is. I 1,000%. It's fantastic that there's like weird sort of, I don't know, like gaps in accountability that are large enough for whole radio stations to fit into.
All right. Corny has left us. So.
Yeah. Corny's out.
Yeah.
Kat, do you want to impersonate Corny and wrap up this episode
no,
for us?
No, I don't want to do
that. Give us details and thank everyone for listening.
Well, you know what? Man. We covered, this is Rob Cross, who we worked with at K-Rock, a.k.a. Chuck Roast, when he came to us. He did his first webcast for the big K-Rock Weenie Roast 2000, which we were at Angel Stadium, webcast where I abandoned his ass, his sick ass. So he was like 102 fever. I left him in the dugout all by himself to suffer through. I'm sorry about that, Rob. In your
face. In your face.
Retribution.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no retribution from Rob, as you know, to me, as far as that abandonment went. So I appreciate
Rob.
That. Yeah.
Well, my revenge will be at a time and place of my choosing. long simmering revenge.
And then we moved to the System of a Down toxicity party in Hollywood that never really happened, but the riots did happen. And Rob basically went to move his car and just took off. Like, did you go to an In-N-Out? Was that a thing?
By the way, went to move his car. I'm not buying for a second. Yeah, I'm not buying that for
went
a second.
Went out for a drive and never came back.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to move my car. I'll be right back. Don't worry about it.
I'm terrible at this summation. Someone else pick it up. I'm terrible at this.
No, that was perfect. Yay.
Yeah, that was very good. Yay. Rob, thank you for doing
yeah,
this.
Dude, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. You guys, this is so much fun for me.
This
thank
was
you.
So I, fun. Yes. Is,
love the show. Long time listener. First time guest.
3/4 Human with Kevin, Kat, and Sluggo and AI.